Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. Toys aren't what they used to be. Is that a good or bad thing? Hello, listeners. Welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom. This is Bill Quinn. Today is June 4th, 2013. We are on day two of our technology article, Augmented Reality, Toymaker's Latest Weapon. You can find it on pages 12, 13, and 14 in your Advanced magazine. And it's very interesting learning about some of the changes that are happening in the toy industry and some of the steps the manufacturers are needing to go to still maintain their market share. And actually, we were talking about that at the end of the day yesterday, but we'll pick up on that shortly in today's reading. But first, I want to take a look at yesterday and also bring back our panelists, introduce them once again. And first, back for day two is Josh Mooney. Hi, Josh.
Hi, Bill. How are you?
Great. I'm happy to be here. I really am getting into this article. How about you?
Very interesting. Yes. Yeah. I think the future of toys is an exciting one.
Yeah. And if people didn't hear yesterday our program, it's great to have Josh here as a point of reference because he does have two young boys, right?
I certainly do, an 8-year-old and a 5-year-old. And I've also, as our audience might remember, worked in technology for several years, and I actually worked with one of the companies we're going to talk about today.
Yeah, and I'm interested in finding out about that because you do have a special insight in that. So as far as yesterday, is there something, maybe one or two things you can think of that stand out?
Well, I think a word we used a lot but didn't talk too much about is the word kiosk. And kiosks are screens that I really appreciate how many kiosks have saved us time in the world today. Mm-hmm. Things mm-hmm. that we can do much faster, like buy train tickets or check in for an airline, check movie times, things that we used to do sometimes face-to-face with people and wait in long lines now can be done very quickly through a kiosk.
Yeah, I initially reacted negatively towards kiosks being used for airplane check-in. I didn't really like the idea. Probably like a lot of people, I was just used to the old system, going up to the counter, having the agent take care of everything. But I've kind of come around on it. And one thing I really do like when I check in at the airport with my airplane ticket is I can actually take a look at the seats. And if I want to move the seat, I can move it on my own. And it's a more efficient method than asking the agent to check around, because what I can do is I can see the whole layout of the plane, and there might be particular seats that are my favorite, the certain aisle seat or a window seat, and I can actually do that more efficiently.
Yeah. All thanks to the kiosk.
Yeah. So there are pros and cons to it, and once you get used to it, it's okay. Not bad. All right. Carolyn Bugs back also. Hi, Carolyn.
Hello, Bill.
Yeah.
Great to be back.
Great to have you here. And we were talking yesterday at the beginning of the program about some of your earlier toys, and you had to use more of your imagination. You had dolls that you were like creating stories and probably gave these people names, gave the dolls names, I mean, right?
Well, some dolls, actually not too many, mostly like toy animals. Mm-hmm. I really liked animal toys. So like horses, model horses, collectible things.
Oh, yeah?
Like that. Yeah.
Oh,
a lot
okay.
of that. And then Beanie Baby animals.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. Beanie Baby animals. Now, what do you think about these augmented reality toys?
Well, I think they're actually really cool. Mm. I think that augmented reality is, while I love my toys from my childhood, mm-hmm. there were also a lot of video games being played at my house, which were really fun. And seeing the way that toys are kind of evolving mm-hmm. as technology continues to evolve. It's okay. pretty interesting.
All right. Give me something from yesterday, a key thought or an idea.
Well, just that we're now taking technology and augmenting reality. We're taking what is real and we're combining it with something else. We're changing it. We're changing the way that we see the world. And it's pretty interesting idea to try to combine this with toys.
I actually read a scary article a couple weeks ago. Depends on your perspective, scary or not scary. And the premise of the article from the writer, what he was talking about was that maybe 20 years from now, everything will be augmented. Mm. Everything will be augmented reality. And what he was saying is that it will be everywhere, and that, you know, we need to get used to this, and it will, the presence in our life is only going to grow. And so now I have a choice. I fight this, I run from it, or I accept it. And interestingly, I know people who have chosen all three of those. So, and I don't think running from it is the right, is a winning choice.
Well, you said scary off the bat. Why do you find this layer of technology on the real world an intimidating thought?
I guess I'm old-fashioned and I'm into like authentic things, and I don't really want things to replace the authentic thing. I had mentioned yesterday that when I was growing up, the activities that we had were playing baseball on the street or riding bicycles. And I don't quite understand all of it. I guess that's why it's scary, is I don't quite understand. Well, take a great example would be Wii. Okay. A lot of people play Wii now, mm-hmm. right? And they will do bowling or tennis or baseball in their living room. And I think back to my youth and I'm thinking, well, we used to actually do the real thing. We would go out on a field. I would go to a bowling alley.
Right.
I would go to a tennis court. So I'm like, what's up with this? I think there's something missing. So that's why I say it's scary.
And I think something we don't necessarily talk about in this article, but our listeners might want to check it out online, are ways that augmented reality are just making life more convenient. It's not always about toys.
Yeah.
I imagine walking into a street filled with restaurants and not knowing which one is good, mm-hmm. holding up your phone, pointing the camera at the street, and then on your phone being able to see Yelp ratings and reviews from my friends and mm-hmm. all around the street on every store window having a marker that then communicates with the app on my phone.
Mm-hmm.
So that, you know, it's certainly adding, I guess, an inauthentic way. I could go and, you know, ask every restaurant if they're good, but it's going to save me some time on the augmented reality piece.
Yeah, that's a good point. It's many aspects, and there are pros and cons to it. Hopefully there are more pros than cons to all of this. It's very interesting. That's why we're talking about this. We're talking about toys and augmented reality. Now, yesterday we left off hearing from a couple of people. That would be Jason Moser and also Carla Gomez talking about kids moving into the tech realm, and then also how the mobile apps are keeping kids entertained. This is a big win for parents, and however, it might be a big loss for some toy makers. Now, we kind of pick up on this with our reading today. So when we do this, we'll break it up into three sections, and our first section will just be those first two paragraphs at the top of the left column on page 13.
Adding augmented reality to physical toys may help toy makers win back children who are increasingly playing with smartphones rather than Barbie dolls. There's not much that's more magic than seeing something that's not really there from the perspective of a kid, said Sean McGowan, a toy industry analyst at Needham & Company.
Okay, how do we start today, Carolyn?
Well, we start by seeing that adding augmented reality to physical toys may help toy makers, and they're trying to win back children who just play with smartphones instead of traditional toys like Barbie dolls.
Yeah, you've experienced this, haven't you, Josh?
I have. My 8-year-old really doesn't ask for toys at his birthday. He just turned 8 last month, and he really only asked for apps to be played on his iPod Touch and didn't want a single physical toy for his birthday.
You're kidding.
No.
He just wanted apps.
He's done with Legos. He's done with trucks. And those are for kids, he says.
Okay. All right. So what this paragraph was saying, the kids like Josh's son are just asking for the apps. They're playing with their smartphones. They're not interested in trucks or trains or Barbie dolls or things like that. And then we continue in the next paragraph hearing from Sean McGowan, a toy industry analyst at Needham and Company.
Yeah, he says there's not much that's more magic than seeing something that's not really there from the perspective of a kid. So this idea of holding up your phone or holding up an object to the webcam on your PC or laptop and seeing something magically appear, that's hard for a physical toy to compete with.
In some ways, this ties in with our imaginative ways as far as creating stories in our head, but it would be kind of neat to have something show up.
It would. So instead of imagining that your toys are in a jungle, like if you're playing with animals or they're on a farm or they're somewhere, but to actually see the farm, to see the jungle, to see wherever it is that it's taking place and not just like on the living room floor.
Yeah.
Right.
All right. Well, thinking about like this Death Star, I thought, well, that was pretty cool what they did yesterday. They held this thing up and they can move it around. Not only that, but they had like these small images, the guards sparring with each other with lightsabers. I thought, wow, that's like pretty sophisticated. And, that would be entertaining. Especially if I'm, an 8-year-old boy, I'm like, wow, that's like really, really cool. Now, keep in mind, too, the whole idea behind all of this is to get the purchase, is to get the people to purchase this. So that's right. They're trying to make this very, very attractive, all right? And so that's why yesterday we talked about the kiosk in the Lego store. The whole idea is to get their interest.
Yes.
Right? Get them there. Take it out of the store. So Josh has been there. Josh has probably taken many things out of the store.
That's right.
And then a month later, it's just sitting in a box somewhere.
But if it was on my wife's phone, it would come with us everywhere we go.
Yeah.
There's also the convenience factor that toy makers are challenged with.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Let's get into our next segment, using the technology to market and sell toys.
Using the technology to market and sell toys. Lego uses the digital box kiosks to entice children into buying the Lego sets. Walmart recently released its Web Slinger app that enables children to see Spider-Man battle the lizard in 3D on a mobile device. A few toys incorporating augmented reality technology also began appearing on toy store shelves last year. Wowie, a company specializing in high-tech toys, rolled out a foam plane that mounts in front of the mobile device's camera. On the screen, the player can see the plane superimposed on various aerial combat scenarios. The player controls the plane by moving the device.
Okay, I was just talking about how toy manufacturers, they are trying to just sell products. And the thing is getting interest. And that's what we're talking about right here.
Yes, and we find out why Lego wants to use the digital box kiosks, and it's to entice children, to get their interest, to make them want to play with these toys, and trying to convince them to buy these Lego sets.
Mm, I would say entice the children to become interested to get their parents to buy the Lego
yes.
sets, right?
Yes, Legos, as any parent knows, are not inexpensive toys.
Yeah.
That Death Star we talked about, I think that has to be in the 6,000 to 7,000 NT range. I mean, it is a really expensive toy.
Yeah, actually, yeah, we'll talk a little bit about the price later in the article. Now, first, you can just look down at the bottom right corner of page 13, and then you can see the digital box kiosk right there. And what does our caption say under that box right there?
Oh, well, we see the name of the child, Kobe Marlos, and he is 10. Holds up a Star Wars The Fighter Lego set to a screen that employs augmented reality technology to bring boxes to life digitally, showing how the set will look when built.
Okay, well, you can see right there, for one thing, the key thing is Kobe is in the screen.
Mm-hmm.
And that is so important. put the kid in the picture.
That's right. That's been a big success of the Wii when you can put yourself into the experience. Or Microsoft Kinect is a cool way of putting your face into video games.
Yeah, you feel like a part of it, and that will just even attach you even more to this product. Now, you can see the image there that does appear on the screen. And again, if you want to, go to YouTube and call up as far as this product, and then you can see it. They actually will show you examples of people moving the thing around, even the Death Star, and you can see what happens then when they move the box and what is going on. It is pretty cool how this all happens. So, all right, so not only Lego's getting into this, what about Walmart?
Well, Walmart, a big box retailer, we've called them, they recently released a Web Slinger app. And the Web Slinger, of course, is the superhero Spider-Man. And this one enables children to see him battle the lizard in 3D on your mobile phone.
Okay. All right. The lizard being Spider-Man's enemy in the 2012 The Amazing Spider-Man movie. And so the Web Slinger, why would they call it Web Slinger?
Well, if you sling something, then you throw it, and spiders have webs. He shoots spider webs out of his hands in the movie, out of his wrists, and so he slings webs. He is a web slinger.
I think we've used the phrase gunslinger, and that's what we call cowboys in the Old West who would sling their guns in their holsters.
Yeah, and this is really good because then you can see this in 3D on a mobile device in the stores. Now, we learn next that a few toys are doing what?
Well, they're incorporating augmented reality technology into the toys. So now we move from talking about marketing the toys through augmented reality, and now we're going to talk about two or three examples of augmented reality being embedded or included into the toy after you purchase it.
Okay, now that first sentence in the next paragraph, we have an example, one example.
Yep, talking about the company Wowie, and it is a company that specializes in high-tech toys. They rolled out a foam plane that mounts in front of the mobile device's camera. So you can take this, I guess, a smallish plane, fairly small, not something you would actually play with physically, but you put it in front of the mobile device's camera. And they rolled this out. So they displayed it. They released it. If you roll something out, then you make a new product or service available for the first time. So it's like a premiere of this new toy or technology.
Right. We might say, well, next month, Mega Computers is going to roll out their new smartphone, you know, the Megaphone 7. Mm-hmm. So that's when it's going to be introduced and sold to the public. Now, Josh, you actually are familiar with this Wowie company.
Yes, they're a Canadian company that has made it big. Their bestseller is a robot, and it's almost kind of a Japanese-looking black and white robot that answers things on commands, obeys your commands, rolls around your room, that kind of thing. And so they've also then created some flying dinosaurs and now, as we read here, into some high-tech planes. And this one mounts on or is attached to the front of your mobile device and allows you then to see various scenarios superimposed onto the screen. And we talked about that word superimposed yesterday, and it's when you put an image or text over something where you can then see it in the augmented reality layer, but you still get to see what's underneath it as well.
Okay, so this the foam plane is kind of a small, tiny plane. It's really only about maybe 3 or 4 inches across the wingspan, and then it's actually attached by some like plastic, you know, I don't even know, braces, I would say. And it actually is now sticking out in front of your phone or your iPad, and then you actually hold the device. You would put your hands on your phone or your tablet, hands on either side, and then you actually would then steer this plane just like it was a steering wheel. The plane is out in front of you. The camera can see it, and then actually what happens is all of a sudden you're flying through clouds, and here comes some fighter planes. Your enemies are coming at you, and then you can actually – you have to touch the screen to fire your guns at the plane. So once you get the hang of this thing, it's really pretty cool.
So it's really just combining a physical toy with the digital experience.
Yeah. And now the plane, the reason you have the plane mounted in front of the camera then is it does actually have then, I believe, the chips embedded in the foam. So then it follows the plane as you are moving this thing around. You're flying through the clouds. So, and again, I would recommend you go to YouTube. You can call this up and check it out, Huawei Foam Plane. You'll see some examples of what I am talking about. So.
Hot Wheels did something similar last year where they have a car with a chip embedded and you put the car right onto your iPad or tablet and you can drive through a racetrack or an outside scenario with the chip embedded in the car.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Hot Wheels being the miniature cars that have been around forever.
Yep.
Yeah. I had Hot Wheels when I was young, so that was one of my toys. All right. Let's do this. Let's have our final reading of today.
German puzzle maker Ravensburger has added augmented reality apps that can make 3D animals jump out from a puzzle of an African safari scene when a camera is aimed at it. And a number of laser tag toys allow smartphones to be mounted on plastic guns. Pointing the gun at a bookshelf or sofa, for example, might prompt virtual alien attackers to appear on the smartphone screen. But analysts said few of the games had the wow factor that would convince them that the latest trend has staying power. Why do I need a piece of plastic to push the buttons when I could hold my phone or tablet out and do it myself? McGowan said. You need to convince people that something really extraordinary is going on to get people to part with their money. For companies willing to try, challenges await.
Okay, we just learned about Huawei and their foam plane that they rolled out, and we're moving to something different here, a little bit different kind of toy, and we meet a German puzzle maker.
That's right, Ravensburger, which makes very traditional toys, cardboard puzzles, but they've added some technology to their box. It's an augmented reality app that makes 3D animals jump out from the puzzle. And the puzzle in this case, it says, is an African safari scene.
Okay, so imagine this. You build this puzzle. You got it done. And then you can actually aim your phone at it. And as you scan across different areas of this puzzle, you will see different images pop up. So, and they would have a variety of puzzles with all different places. So you're going to get a whole bunch of different augmented realities that you can get with their puzzles. I think it's kind of cool.
It is. I would say puzzles are probably the lowest tech toy out there.
Yeah.
So adding that layer of technology to it is pretty cool.
Yeah. Something different for an old toy. All right. Next.
Well, moving right along into something a little more modern, not quite as old or traditional as puzzles, but laser tag toys. So now laser tag toys allow smartphones to be mounted on plastic guns.
Okay. All right. Well, this is a little bit different, kind of like the foam plane. They're still using like something to incorporate the phone in this, but now it sounds to me like you've got a gun, you just stick the phone in there.
That's right. So laser tag, I don't know if it's popular in Asia, but it's usually, you know, 8 to 10-year-old boys running around a park or in their house and shooting these, you know, individual red lights, invisible red lights at each other. And then when you hit someone else's gun, it makes a sound and you've been hit and you try to score points against each other. It's done primarily at centers or kind of laser tag stores, but more and more people are buying them for their homes, and now you can add this layer of augmented reality to it by attaching your phone to the gun.
Okay, so instead of needing a group of people, it sounds like you can do this individually, right?
Right. You don't need to have a group of friends now. You can just point the gun at a bookshelf or sofa, and that might prompt virtual alien attackers to appear on the smartphone screen. So here you are, maybe, you know, none of your friends are around, it's raining, you don't want to go outside. Just, oh, well, I have this smartphone, I have this laser tag gun, I can shoot aliens in the living room.
Well, it's not a bad idea. The one, you know, child can keep themselves entertained.
Mm-hmm.
You've got the gun, you've got the phone, you know, at least if you're by yourself, at least you can keep yourself entertained for a while. All right, great ideas. We've just read about the puzzle, the laser tag, the plane, but there's also always a counterpoint to things.
That's right. In line 35, analysts. Oh, the dreaded analyst who comes at you with his data and statistics. He thinks or she thinks that few of the games have the wow factor, that idea of what is going to make it sell, that's really going to get kids excited. And they are not convinced that this latest trend has staying power.
Okay, staying power.
Staying power. So they're not sure that it's going to be able to continue to exist. Like, if it faces any problems, will it be able to stick around?
Okay. Maybe they're just thinking, oh, well, okay, that's great. It's a neat twist. It's just the novelty.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure. I'm not convinced it's really going to be something that's going to change the industry. That's what this analyst is saying. And in fact, we do have a quote here from Sean McGowan, whom we met earlier today, an industry analyst at Needham & Company. What does Sean say?
Well, why do I need a piece of plastic, in this case the augmented reality add-on to push buttons, when I could hold my phone or tablet out and do it myself?
Well, this guy's like really cynical and he's ruining all the fun. Come on.
He could be right. You know, I think he mentions something interesting, plastic. I mentioned I've worked with Huawei. I've worked with Mattel and a couple of their toy companies. They make their money off plastic. And yeah, a $50 or $30 gun is a lot more expensive than a $299 app. So yeah, it's something they're having a real tough time with, but it's a mantra they use internally, plastic first.
Yeah.
Okay. Where they,
big profit margin.
Yes.
Big profit margin. Okay. And Sean McGowan continues.
Yes. You need to convince people that something really extraordinary is going on to get people to part with their money. So in today's age where everyone is so technology focused, we got to have the next, newest, biggest, best thing. It has to be impressive. Otherwise, people aren't going to buy it.
It's tough. There are so many options people have, so many entertainment options, so many gadgets and toys that they have. It is really hard. And for companies willing to try this, well, challenges await. And we'll learn more about that tomorrow. So come on back. Till then, this is Bill.
This is Carolyn.
And Josh.
Saying goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye.